Blog Talk Radio. forget that God said that we can. And once we repent, God will be in the midst of our life. He's in the midst of our life if we repent or not. But once we repent to him of our sins, God will be our Savior, and he will be our Redeemer, our Restorer. He will be all that we need. So just on this week, I noticed some things, conversations, listening, talking, TV. I'll notice how people say anything to get what they want or to get a point across, or how can I say, get their vision. People will say something to you knowing it's not true, whether they heard it and they repeated it, or they're starting a rumor, or they're just saying it to get you to come to their side, do what they want you to do. For example, politicians. They will say what they want to say to get you to do what they want. Like, I noticed my mailbox is full of a lot of stuff for politicians. And I started to laugh when I saw them, because I began to say, wow, I can't even get you to fix sidewalk in front of my house, but you can faithfully take time out to have mail sent around to ask me for a vote when I've asked you several times to fix the sidewalk in front of my house. So you may say, what that has to do with what I'm going to talk about tonight? It has something to do with it. I'm going to get to it in a moment. First of all, we don't realize that so busy trying to please man, we forget that our assignment is to be a witness and worship and please God. You know, when I was older, I'm sorry, when I used to listen to the older saints, when I was younger, they would say, Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. So I find myself saying that myself. I said it then because I was saying what they said, and I said, now, God, I want to be pleasing in your sight. So with saying that, let us stop for a moment and let us pray. Father God, we come before you, before your holy throne. We come before you, God, knowing that you are the one and only true holy God, living God. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for keeping a record in heaven. God, we thank you for everything you do. God, we thank you for our assignment. God, let our hearts line up with your word so we can stay on assignment. God, keep us in place where we will be where we need to be. Father God, we ask you to forgive us of every sin, oh Lord, willingly, unwillingly, commission, omission. Even if it looked like we was a partaker and a sin, if it was observed that we were sinful, God, we ask you to forgive us. God, we thank you. We give you thanks for allowing us to come before you to ask you for forgiveness, to ask you to hear our requests, to hear our prayers. Father God, we come before you saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, hear me. Lord, that I may hear what your word is saying. Give me eyes that I may see what your word is saying. Give me a heart that I may retain and love and hold on to what your word is saying. Give me a mind to meditate on what your word is saying. God, I thank you for us being your people, willing to and living the life that you have caused us to live. God, we thank you for being our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, letting me be in our right mind, giving me the desire to want to be saved. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people on the night, oh God. Amen. So tonight, I want to go to the book of Micah. Let's go to the 7th chapter, the 19th verse. That says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know how we walk around and we testify and we tell people that God will forgive our sins and he threw them into the sea of forgetfulness, never no more. In the 7th chapter, the 19th verse, say, he will cast them. Let me read that part to you again. Thou will cast all their sins, I say all of my sins, into the depths of the sea. So now that we know that he shall do that, we know that he said he will remember them no more. And it seems like the only person living in our past and other people. When God said that he will bring you out, like he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and put everything they saw and they had and they heard and God did and provided for them, yet they still long to go back. After hundreds of years of praying for a redeemer, after praying for a deliverer, after praying for the come out, some of them still wanted to go back. Ain't that crazy? See, a lot of us is the same way. We want to live our life as they used to say when I was a young, the young man would go out and saw they roll oats. Sometimes the girls came out to give the oats, however you want to look at it. But when God brings you out and after your prayer, God, I want my own. I want to have a good job. I don't want to be cold. I want to have heat and light. I want to have a warm and nice, beautiful house. I want to have a healthy family. I want this. I want that. God, get me out of this situation. Get me out of that situation. And when God do it, some reason, some of us desire to go back. Did you know there's not nothing you can't ask God for to forgive you out as long as you don't blaspheme? That's one sin you won't be forgiven for, to do that against the Holy Spirit. And when you sit back and you decide you're going to be big and bad enough to disrespect God like that, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, kingdom of God, and then you believe that you can just be all right. Not so. I'm so happy to know that when I asked God to forgive me, and when I was a baby saint, I kept finding myself falling back and doing some old stuff. Sometimes it looked like I forgot I was saved because things kept coming out of my mouth that shouldn't be. I was acting certain ways that I shouldn't have been acting. And, you know, I knew it was not proper or right to say it, but I tried to convince myself that God knows my heart. And each time I said that, somebody would come behind me, or I would hear a man, a woman, a God say, or just somebody in random, or listening on the radio, or looking at, God knows our heart. And he knows that there's nothing in our heart but evil without him. See, the key part is, without him, there's evil. You don't believe me? Go back to the beginning with Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve. Go back to the beginning. When God kicked Satan, Lucifer, and the angels that was following him out of heaven, go back to the beginning. We don't get it. We just decide that we're going to try to do anything any kind of way, and just to think God is just sitting back for, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to take them back. No matter. We say in the world there's rules to the game. There's rules to salvation. Mm-hmm. If God hated, we should hate it. If God loved it, we should love it. When God loves his people the way that he do, he showed it. He gave his only begotten son. In the beginning, he said to his son, let us make man in our own image. He didn't just put some dirt together, made it some clay, and put a little stick man, a little figurine. He made us with a blueprint. Oh, that right there touched my heart. He made us with a blueprint because he made us with his own image. And it seems like the more life goes on, decade, millennium, after millennium, after decade, whatever, we're getting so far from God. We could tell everybody about the latest record out, the latest dance, the latest outfit, the newest cologne, the perfume came out. But why is it not we're not rushing to tell somebody about the Lord, about the Word? The Word is the same every day. We look when the sun come up. We look for it to come up every day. Sun go down and the moon come out. We look forward to do that every day. So when we know that stuff is working, we look for it, but yet and still, we don't look for this Word to work every day. This Word can work in our life every day. We're so busy trying to get these eyelashes and eyebrows. And I saw some eyebrows on a certain person, and I said, them things was about that thick. It looked like the hairline and the eyebrows was about to have a meeting, a conference. Looked like Groucho Marx. Somebody just walked up with a razor. I'm not a razor. Paintbrush and just hit them two times, one on each eye. But we're so busy trying to make sure people see our pretty face with our lace front or silk, whatever you call it, silk lace or whatever. We're so busy doing that, we forget about the Lord. We forget to spend time with him, not until we want something. We forget to talk to him, not until we want to ask for something. We forget to listen to him, not unless we say, Lord, please, Lord, please, I want that. Let me get that. Can I have a car? We can do that for me. See, we're begging. We forget. I like playing on Facebook just like anybody else. But I take time out to spend time with my Lord and Savior. I take time out to read my Word. I take time out to talk to God and listen to God and talk with people or talk with someone that I know is going to say something to me about the Lord. That's my conversation. I don't want to hear about Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. I don't want to hear about Goldilocks went into the Three Bears' house and she fell asleep and the little bear said, "Mommy, why is she in my bed?" I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about what the Word of God is saying. See, a lot of times we forget about God until we need him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think about, you know what, I'm just going to stop by and say, "Lord, I'm stopping by to say hello. I bless your holy name. Just stop by to say, how you doing?" We don't never think about that. You know, we don't tell people, "I love the Lord with my whole heart." Because, see, we ashamed. You know, I have family members that believe in other beliefs, and they try to bring it to me. But one thing I do is I say, "No, mm-mm. I believe in the Holy Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I don't want to talk to you about any other belief. Because if I'm constantly telling you my belief, I want you to respect the fact of my belief." So did you check that food for me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know it. Flip it over. I'm just so happy to be able to sit back and say, "God, with everything I've been through, with everything I've seen, God, I thank you. I thank you. I'm not willing to take a chance to go out here and see about something else with somebody else. I want to make sure I have a relationship." And I always say, why is it that out of all the things, beliefs that we talk about, you could talk about everything and every other belief, and people be just go ahead, they'll just say, "Yeah, yeah, whatever." But as soon as you talk about Jesus, the Word say they're going to hate you for me. The Word tells us, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. It's nothing in my Bible that I have not seen come true. We're living in, look like the book of Revelation. We're living in a place and format where if you're walking on the other side of the street and you see, hear me over here talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't want to have that conversation, just keep going. Don't go out your way to come over here to tell me I shouldn't be talking about. If the person I'm talking to is listening to me or if we're having a discussion, you stay out of it. We have not invited you or included you in. But you have people like that will. And they get violently angry with you. So I'm saying all that to say, if you know what's going on in the world and you know what's happening, why haven't you repented? Why haven't you went to the Lord and said, "Father God, I need you. Lord, I need your help. I need to be given an understanding of what your word is saying. God, I need a spirit of discernment. I need to see." You see, that's the best thing about it. When you become a Christian, as we say, saved, and you delivered and you sanctified and you're walking with Christ, so you on the road of deliverance and you're on the road of walking with Christ, one thing you have to understand is that you become a part of the body of Christ. Now, the best thing about being in the body of Christ, okay, everybody has a different part. You know, if you look at your hand, your fingers are different sizes. Thumb, index, your guide finger, your ring finger, your baby finger. You've got your toes, your feet, your knees, your ankles, your back, your arms, your nose, your lips, your eyes, your ear, your hairline, your hair length, if you have it. Some wear glasses, some don't. Some wear earrings, some don't. Some have more than one hole in their ear. Some have no holes in their ear. Some have holes in their nose or eyebrows. Or it's just, when you're looking at what part of the body you in, be the part that tells somebody about Jesus. The Holy Ghost, the Father, the Kingdom of Heaven. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will add all these things unto you. With adding all these things unto you is understanding, wisdom, acceptance, love. When you look back, think of the things that you used to do. I'm talking to myself right now because I found out something these past 2 weeks that I really do love the Lord. And because of some things that happened, what came out my mouth, the first thing came out my mouth. Because, see, a lot of times we get caught in situations. And the first thing that come out your mouth really tells where your belief is at. When you sit back and you say, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Now, God, I'm asking you to stop letting some things from my past come back to my remembrance and stop letting me think about it. And when other people try to bring it up, God, don't let it bother me so much. Because, see, sometimes people try to push your buttons and see where you at. They'll try to bring up your used-to-be's, your should-haves, your could-haves, your did's, your didn't, your wills, your won'ts. You know, they try to bring those up. And you have to get to the point you just say, look at them and smile and say, but my God is a strong deliverer. But my God will bring you out. I just say, why are you still stuck in my past? That right there, that happened back in the 80s, the 90s. You decades behind. You know, you centuries behind. Why are you still back there? You haven't seen nothing. You don't want to acknowledge. If you see the change, you see the growth. See, with silver hair in your head and gray, I don't mean from dying. It comes from natural. It should bring forth wisdom. If you don't curse them out or go off on them, they will see it is truly a change in you. Because, see, they're not God, and you don't allow them to bring your sins up that's been through in the sea, and God's not remembering them no more. Don't allow anybody to pull you back. I don't care how bad it was or what it was. Don't allow it. Because with God, there's growth. And when God takes you to another level, you have to be ready to acknowledge, God, I need help on this level. Even if something happens and just say you make a mistake, you slip, you stumble, you know what? You can still repent. Say you have one time to do this, one time to, if you don't do blasphemy, you can repent. He said for us to repent daily. See, sometimes our minds or our eyes, or something we received in our heart because we either heard it or we was listening. We either said it or we was listening. We either saw it, we started desiring, started coveting, we start wanting. We have a mind that's sitting back meditating on it, thinking about it, wondering what if. See, anything can bring on something in your heart that's not pleasing to God. So if you get to the point where you say, Lord, I want to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, I want you to keep me, you know. If you don't believe me about blasphemy, go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 31st and the 32nd verse. If you want to know how God feels about us, especially when it comes to repenting, go to what I read to you, Micah, the 7th chapter, the 19th verse. Read Hebrew 10 and 17, 8 and 12 of Hebrew, 1 John 1 and 9, Jeremiah 31 and 34. There's other scriptures in there, but I'm just saying, when you get to the point where you are accepting God, when you are talking with God, stop living in your past, especially when God is bringing you out. Don't let somebody else take you back there. I can tell you that I've done some things in my past. I just sit back and be like, what was wrong with you? See, you have to be willing to look at yourself and say, thank God for Jesus. What made me? How could I have? Why? Sometimes you just have to be like, God, I thank you for bringing me out. It was some people I used to hang out with years ago, growing up in high school, grammar school, grade school. Majority of them not even here. And out of the ones that's left here, man, when I look at them, I'm like, God, there go I, that could have been me. But I thank God for a praying mother. I thank God my mother taught us how to pray. I thank God that she, even when I was younger and I wasn't trying to be saved or nothing, my mother taught us how to pray for ourselves before we left out. And while we was out and when we was coming home. And give God thanks to pray for ourselves when we got back in. I thank God for what my bloodline taught me. I thank God for the bloodline I came from. I thank God for the bloodline I am. See, I thank God that on my mother's side, I come from a bloodline of preachers, and father's side, I come from a bloodline of preachers and teachers and pastors and bishops and apostles and prophets and stuff like that. So when I look at where I come from and I look at what I was taught, one thing I do know is that somewhere down the line, we got to get back to knowing that repentance is not something you can only do one time. We have to do it every day, just like you want somebody to tell you that they love you or they appreciate you, they respect you, they honor you. And some people you want to hear that every day and you want them to show it. What makes you think God won't do any less? We need to show God every day, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. We got to show God every day, I know I can't make it without you. Lord, I desire you. Lord, I wait on you. Lord, I trust you that you're going to not just change my appetite, but you're going to fill my appetite with what I need to do your will. See, a lot of times we get so caught up in what we doing. Some people be like, oh, oh, you did that. You know, the first thing should come out of my mouth, excuse me, is glory be to God. Y'all pray for me. The first thing should come out of our mouth when somebody tried to tell you something that you did great. Glory be to God. To God be the glory. I couldn't do that without God. I said, all things are possible through Christ Jesus. I could not do that if God hadn't made a way. I'm not able to do anything without God's permission. God had me to call somebody today, and being human, first I said, Lord, is that me or is that you? But I heard God say, call them and tell them. I said, I am God. Stay focused. It was something else he told them. Once I told them, they said, oh, and I forgot. But once I told them what God told me to tell them, they said, thank you. I need that. Because I didn't realize once we began to talk what they told me was going on. I said to myself, oh. See, a lot of times we think people are doing one thing, but they need encouragement too. People are going through so much that they need to know that God hears their prayers. Because, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Sometimes we have so much noise going on up here, we can't hear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have so much stuff going on, we can't hear. Sometimes things is happening so fast and happening around us. We're, Lord, do you hear me? You know, we get discouraged. You know, I think about preacher kids. The church and the people put pressure on preacher kids. The deacon kids, the bishop kids, let's say the man and woman of God kids, they put pressure on them that they shouldn't do this and they should know better. They were born just like you and me. They have a choice just like you and me. We should not be putting pressure on these children because they belong to the pastors or our leaders. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, you should be thanking them. Because, see, our leaders, our pastors are so busy loving on and doing for other families. You thought about what they have. You thought about what they're not getting, the time that they so desperately need and want with their parents. I got to go over here with mom and dad to this church, and I got to play for this church. And I got to go over here and carry the Bible and carry their bags and support them and do this and do that. You ever thought about the things that they give up? But yet it's still, they're being beat down from other people. So if you catch them doing something, ooh, they ought to be ashamed. Mm-mm. Now, that's something you need to go repent about, because you're putting that child or those children in a place that you didn't leave room for them to mess up. They mess up like anybody else. Not only do the pastors, the leaders need prayer, their family, their children. Because, see, me and my sisters and brothers, we had to go through something growing up, which a lot of our family didn't never pay attention to. Our parents always had room in their house for our loved ones. But guess who had to give up their bed? We did. Our parents always had extra food in our house for loved ones. But guess who didn't get that extra piece of chicken? Our parents always had not a lot, but they'd give a little of what they had because they wanted to make sure somebody else was, their needs were met. I remember a car my dad was promised to. But a family member needed a car, and he said, I'm going to give it to them. My heart was broken because I wanted the car, but I trust my parents was doing the best. And it's not like we didn't have another car. They was going to let me use it. But this car was going to be me and my sister say that we can go and come as we please. But because another family member was in need, he gave it to them. And I wanted to say, well, you gave this one a car. You gave that one a car, a different family sister. But I said, God, I didn't say a word. Even though my heart was broken. And my parents knew that my heart was broken. But see, the kind of parents we had, our mom must have saw our face and she was reading our postures or the way she may have heard us talking. Came one day and said, you know what? I love you all to life. That's so many words. That's what she said. But what she said was that God has put so much love in me that I have enough to love everybody else and still love you all. I may not give you everything you want, but I give you everything you need. I may not give you everything you ask for, but I trust it. And once we sat down and thought about it, it was true. Our mom and our dad, they never played us against one another. What they did, if all three of us wanted something, she would sit down and my dad would sit down. Well, they would talk, but my mom would find out what it is we want and the importance of what we wanted. See, one of us will want something, one of us will need something, and one of us will be like, I don't want to be left out, so I'm going to ask for something too. 9 out of 10. Let's see that. So what we had to look at is that the oldest ones always felt like, why I got to be left out because the younger ones need. The youngest one always was, we was like, why that would always get what they want. And the middle child always felt like they was left out. I'll never get anything because the middle child. So I'm saying all that to say, but because of the wisdom that our parents used, they taught us how not to fight against each other. But if one got wanted something, and the other wanted something, and the other wanted something, and the other, whatever they want, they taught us to wait. So if you got it this time, somebody else will get it next time. And then if the other one wanted something, and the other ones got it, they had to wait. It was like it was an even rotation. And I thank God for that. That's how we was taught how to love and wait our turn. And I said that to say this. That kept us from having to repent of sibling rivalry. Don't get me wrong. It was all still was there because times we get caught up in ourselves and do things or say things just to say it. But God taught us how to be faithful to the love that our parents taught us, that he taught them, so we knew how to repent. And we knew how to stay focused and know that, you know what, I heard God tell me to go back and say I'm sorry. You know, I shouldn't have did that. Forgive me. You know, we knew how to be right and how to talk about things in the right way. So I love the fact that on our block, we had a lot of families on our block that they grew, we grew up on, whose parents were preachers. Moms were first ladies. We all went to church. We didn't go to the same church, but we all went to church. And I remember us growing up, and people would call our parents holy rollers and stuff like that. But now that we're older, baby, when I tell you, we understand the benefit of having saved and sanctified parents that love the Lord, we're still here. Sometimes one or two got caught up, but because of the prayers of the righteous, they was prayed through. And I thank God for that, because we learned how to repent and give our hearts back to God. And because of the faithfulness of what we were raised up on, the love of the Lord and the repent and talk to God, we were able to pray for one another. So I pray that tonight somebody heard something, somebody received something, somebody got something out of what was said on tonight. We have to remember to stay focused, stay on assignment, stay before God, to remember that once we repent of our sins, God throws them into the depth of the sea. God will not remember them. He will not bring them up. And when somebody else bring it up, how they say, just brush it off your shoulder. Let it go. You're not living in your past. Leave the past behind you. Press forward towards the mark of the high calling. Press forward for what God has assigned for you. Stop living in what was, what could have been, what should have been. That's gone. Ask God for today. What do he have for you today? Okay, so at this time, the line is open for Blog Talk. If anybody have anything they would like to say, give a comment, please do so at this time. The lines are open. Okay, well, nobody's on Blog Talk speaking at this time. So I would like to say
I was going to say God is faithful, but Blog Talk was spinning and buffering, so I couldn't. God is faithful.
Thank you so much, Apostle. So at this time, I would like to say thank you, Facebook and Blog Talk, for tuning in on tonight to just share your Friday night with me, to just share some of your time with me, and just know that God is God, and stay in place before the throne. Don't let go. Don't get off the throne until you believe that God has did what you asked him to do. And then when he do what still that you have asked him to do, get back on the throne and ask him for forgiveness of other things. Because every day we can ask God to forgive us of something. Believe me when I say that. Something's going on every day. I would like to ask God to answer the prayers that has been already put before you all, like the prayers for Minister Margo McCord, the prayers for Pastor Servant Troy Thomas, the prayers for Prophet Antoine Thomas, the prayers for Apostle Elect Dr. Celia Kaiser, the prayers for Dr. Serena Wright, the prayers for Evangelist Tony Montgomery, the prayers for Ron Montgomery, her husband, the prayers for Reverend Lawrence Seabury, the prayers for myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and anybody and everybody else that has been a part of this ministry. We ask you all to pray for each and every one of us and our families. I ask God to cover you all and your families, and that you all would just do what God has assigned you to do, repent and stay before him, and not give up and give in. Don't settle. Don't settle for what you think. Ask God and then wait on God and follow God's instruction. Again, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you all to know that God is good. Pray for all the families that have lost loved ones so far in 2024, and for those that are still dealing with grievance and grief from 2023 and back, 2022 and back, and 2021 and so on back. We're asking God to heal our hearts, keep us before him. Don't let anybody tell you how long you should grieve, because each situation is different. Never know. Some never got a chance to say goodbye. Some got a chance, but it wasn't where they was able to accept it. But we're going to ask God to heal it, their hearts and our hearts, that we have a place in the Lord. So with that being said, I want to say we love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. Good night, everyone.